Hello, humans. Hello. Good afternoon to you. How are you? Welcome. My name is Joyce, and the sun rises here. My name's Joyce, and the sun rises here. So let me see whether you get it if I put it down. I really hope you pick it up. There's a spirit to art. There's a spirit to art. It's similar to the melody of music. And I noticed years ago that if you find that rhythm, then you can incorporate it into your life. And really what that rhythm is that you build consciousness so that you're in the moment where you're feeling and seeing what it is that you're doing. And then you realize that if you do everything with good conscience, if you do everything with joy in your heart, that is, it's a kind of musical note. And I'm not trying, I hope this is not so abstract that you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Like, art is a spirit, and that spirit is equally as tangible as happiness and sadness. Yeah. So if you connect consciously to the spirit of life and what life is, then everything that you do, whether it's when you brush your teeth or go to the market, or then you realize that your life has like a melody to it. Like a melody. There's a melody to it. When you cook, when you sleep, when you make love, when you write, when you, there's a certain melody to it. And I discovered it years ago. And I have really just tried to stay there in my mind and allow my mind track my spirit and just enjoy it. Yeah. Wonder. Let's call it that. That's the only thing we can call it. Wonder. Little wonder. So I think I'm going to ask that you find and do with joy and good conscience everything that you do. Everything that you do. I mean, it's like when you say, well, you have peace in your heart, but yeah, but this time around, there's a melody to it. It's like an extra something to that piece. It's musical in nature. All right. Don't worry. I'll bring that topic back on Lords of Logic. I was away, have been away. And just in case you're wondering, I am Joyce Odichima Onyemoa. You're on the sunny side. The sun rises here every Monday through Thursdays, 12 to 3, the sunny side. All right, so first, I want to share something with you. In my absence, I received some letters from some people. Excuse me. And, well, thank you very much for writing me. One of the letters I received, by the way, there's a cancer foundation that wrote to me. I would respond to you in no time. Okay, so that's out of the way. There's this other person or group, I'm not quite sure, but it was signed by a person, of course. The letter reads, and this is me paraphrasing, that they intend to celebrate Nigeria at 61, and the venue will be at Federal Palace Hotel, and that they wanted me to contribute towards the venue. The letter said that the intended budget for pretty much the venue would be 14 million naira. And they wanted my contribution towards that. And I read through the letter and I thought about it. And there's only one thing I have to say to that. You know, I mean, there are other rational, logical, socioeconomic aspects to my thinking, but I'm going to not bother about that. There's something far more superior that I think I must say today. This God-given Tuesday, it is that you know God is working. You know that God is working. When someone looks at you and thinks, well, you look like you have 14 million naira. So I think I want to seize this moment to thank God for making me look. Because, well, if you think I can contribute, if you send me a letter requesting, and you state, well, we're looking at 14 million, so basically you either pay it off the 14 million or you make a contribution. Like if you look at me and you think I probably have like 200 million and I can sign off 14 million, then praises go only one way, and that's to God, that I really look like it. So the only thing separating me from having it is time. So thank God, God is working. I look like good money. And I'm not even one, I'm not thirsty for money. My ambition is not towards money. But just that I look like it says, like, I already have it. Just like I look like, I like the fact that you believe I can, there's 14 million somewhere that I'm not using, and I can put it towards a venue to celebrate Nigeria at 61. I don't do drugs or politics. God is wonderful. Yeah. So, and that's really all I have to say about that letter. At least between now and a few years from now on, you know. You know. All right. You know. Her girl be looking like liquid cash in foreign currency, probably in natural minerals too, because, you know, there's this bank reserve in Switzerland. Apparently, it's reported that the world's biggest men keep their gold there. The warehouse is underground. You will not believe the technology that's in the earth holding gold. So apparently that's my class. That's my tax bracket. I knew that God was wonderful. I knew that God was working overtime. Just small time now. Small time. I just wanted you to hear that. Just, I mean, palms are soft. And a girl looks like she knows how to spend good money. So, hey, how about you give it to me? Yeah? Jehovah Lequem. Good God. Oh, dear. All right, serious stuff now. The sunny side. Welcome to the show. My name's Joyce. So yesterday, we didn't quite have the opportunity to thoroughly lacerate with human conscience and logic the benefits of joining the force. All right. So we're going to go right back into that conversation. After that, you know, today's Tuesday. We actually theme it. The theme is open thought. So the second hour, I want to share with you something that some people said. I'm not going to say their name, of course, because my intent is, given that it's open thought, I want to see what you think about what I will share with you. Now, these people who have, who have thought these things and written them represent society. So I'm sure that there's a reasonable size or a reasonable human number in society who think that way. There's a sect in society, or say maybe there's a large number of society that actually thinks that way. And I would like to see what you think about it. As you probably would have guessed, I've analyzed it psychologically, and I have something to tell you in that regard. But I'm first going to hear from you what you think about that. And then by 2:30, we have the recorded program to share with you beautiful work, if you ask me. It's actually titled His Story. Kind of shares with you, not necessarily your hero's past, but pretty much gives you a background into the lives of some men or men who have lived before you showed up. And maybe you can share in both their graces and their failures. And if you learn something from that, why not? 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce.
You are listening to Open Thought on the Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk.
Okay, so I found a story yesterday, and I thought, well, this story is a great reference point. I would love to share this story with you, and I want to get your reaction to it. I found it on a blog. A HIV-positive teacher accused of defiling 14 pupils in the primary school where he teaches, Alhaji Usman Galadima, a grade 2 teacher at the Central Primary School somewhere in Niger State, is said to have abused 14 girls sexually, after which he threatened to kill them if they spoke about it. However, in July, 2 of the pupils reported to the school's headmistress and that the teacher had molested them. The headmistress reported to the headmaster, who summoned the accused teacher. The teacher denied the student's claim. With time, more students in grade 2 opened up that they had been abused by Galadima, and the school started investigating the matter. Galadima continued to maintain his innocence until a delegation sent by someone, the traditional head of the particular village, arrived at the school to complain that some girls from grade 2 and 3 of the school told their parents that they were touched by the teacher. All right, so a WhatsApp conversation emerged, and it reads, I quote, "Two daughters of my cousins are among the children. All the families are afraid that their children may not get justice. They believe that some elders in the community are trying to cover the case." And I think I want to end there, because that kind of really just touches at the heart of something I want to refer to as we talk about. Is there a possible incentive to join the force besides the monetary incentive? Yesterday we had the caller call in. He chose to be anonymous. And according to his claim, he said he used to be a military official or a personnel. And he told a story. And you know, sometimes when I hear about Nigerian soldiers, the soldiers that go to war, I wonder if there is any federal catering to their psyche, you know? And I wonder whether like in more specific cases, if they suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, that the government has a means by which they can cater to them. And that's weirdly a conversation that's never really had. I think the assumption is that, well, you're lucky you didn't die. Welcome back. What do you want to eat? Like, nobody really checks whether you're okay emotionally, mentally. Because, hey, there you are, right back into society. And then maybe the bigger question is, even society itself probably has PTSD from everything that they've suffered the last 60 years. All right, I'm not going to detour. So, this was a thought in my head. That in society, depending on your position, sometimes you don't get deserved justice. I've shared with you a story. Unfortunately, it was a case of rape where a father went and confronted the one who abused his daughter, and the man got boys. The one who victimized, the one who raped the child, was confronted, and he got boys to beat up the man whose daughter was raped. And he wanted help. So, you know, I thought about it, that in situations where some people are denied justice, isn't that a good enough reason? So look at you. I want you to look at yourself and you think about your family and then you think about the country. So, yes, the courts are there. And of course, they're lawyers. And sometimes you say, well, I don't have money for a legal case. And well, yeah, we'll see why that is possible. And even if you had money, maybe you want to put it to something else. Because legal cases, except it's really that serious, you want to really just leave it for God and use the money to pay rent. And it kind of makes sense. Except that when injustice thrives, it breaks down the mental strength. If you allow it, it permeates the middle of society, the social consciousness of society, and what that would bring about, the impact of that is more people would take advantage of the situation, and more people will suffer as a result of a lack of a system structured to help reinforce or defend their human rights. But I know that you complain about the force. You say, well, you know, they're this, they're that, they take bribe, they're this, they're everything you say. And you're not far from the truth. You probably are standing right on it, if you would allow me to be accurate. But then, what if the change that can happen can come from you? What if, in the absence of money, because I read Ecclesiastes, this was years ago, and I thought it was terribly fascinating. Let me share this, and you think about it psychologically. Well, look at, extract from it what that philosophy could mean, all right? So it says, and I can't quite remember the chapter or verse, it says, money is a defense as money is a defense as wisdom is. He says money is a defense, wisdom is a defense. He says, but the better is wisdom. So you have money, you can defend yourself. wisdom is also a defense. And if you have wisdom, you can defend yourself. And between the two, wisdom is better, is a better defense. Well, in a world, in a material world, where the melody, the orchestra, the song, the hum, the humans from the stars to the sand, the only thing that is the highest conversation is money. Even your kids in school are, you know, prepping to be fraudsters because that's the only thing that has gotten reward, respect, and fame. Well, of course, you say, well, there's some people of merit, absolutely, but right next to them is someone who's criminal. So, is there any reason? And you don't have to agree. I think I'm saying that, well, in the absence of money, maybe if you put yourself in a position, then you can use that position if for nothing else. I mean, there's defend your country. Then there is defend your neighbors. There's defend yourself. There's defend your family in the absence of money. The soldier, well, the man who chose to be anonymous, who claimed to be a soldier, he told a story that it does appear to me that he is still traumatized from. And I really can't, I would never undermine that. But when you suffer trauma, God help you. Probably takes a lifetime, if you don't die from it, to recover. Are there other incentives? Because you have to understand, complaining is okay. But if you did nothing about that situation, it's never going to go away. And in fact, it will mutate. So say you had 10,000 demons in 2002. By 2012, is 10,000 times probably another 10,000. That's really what you have going on. It mutates. I mean, the same way you plant a seed, you plant one seed, you get a little shrub, then you get a tree, then the tree yields fruits, and then the whole compound can eat from just one seed. Well, the same thing with problems, they equally mutate. So if we're just going to sit back and complain and do nothing, well, maybe you have money. But imagine if you had both position and money, then maybe you won't spend as much. And then you probably won't even run the risk of corrupting yourself. Because look, if I know that I can defend myself very well, then I stand on whatever I have, which qualifies as means by which I can defend myself. So if I had some money and I had some position, then I put those, I join the forces together. It's like when you say two heads are better than one. Well, so two weapons are better than one. Yeah. But if we just sit back here and not go, you don't like it, you don't like it. But maybe for it to look any good or any difference, you have to go there and bring change. I think, and I'm really trying not to convince you. I think I want to stir a conversation. So let's get to it. Let's talk then. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Do you think there is any other means besides monetary benefit and maybe the dignity of the position of the force? Because some of you really think, no, there's no point being there. It doesn't dignify you. Or you say, well, no, there's other more prestigious careers to pursue. Let me become a doctor. That's great. Let me become a naval officer. That's beautiful. But what if you go there to fix the problem? So I want to hear you talk about whether you think it's really a worthy pursuit to really go in there and bring change, or you have other aspects I have not considered, because, you know, that's also possible. 01465-7190. I want the women to speak, particularly if you're a woman in the force. If you're a woman in the force, if you're married to a man in the force, you certainly have a good position. We want to hear your view. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome, how are you?
Hi, Josh. Good afternoon. This is Ade Goke.
Welcome, Goke.
Yeah, to join the police is going to be a huge task because of the system in place already. If there's going to be any change, it has to be from the top, because most of these guys at the top, you know, they have to also submit to another Oga at the top.
Okay.
So they task the boys below to reach a particular target daily so that they can deliver.
What if you did it for your family, a kind of cover for your family? I want to speak on that. Isn't that something worth considering?
Your life is at stake here. Are you ready to sacrifice your life and leave your family to languish and suffering. Okay. You knowing that you are the breadwinner, you get, and they look up to you. So,
is it everyone that, who joins the force that gets, you know, deployed somewhere? Not everybody.
It's not. If you have, see, in the force, you must have a godfather if you really want to maintain your position.
Oh, really?
Wherever you want to be. Yeah. I used to have a friend in the military, actually a lieutenant in the army. He told me everything about all this godfatherism. Even when he went to fight the war at Liberia, then after coming back, through his godfather, he got the promotion, the ranks he get. So, and there are many who also went to Liberia or came back. They didn't even get anything, you know, nothing, because they didn't have that godfather figure to help them out. So it's just the corrupt system.
So what if the getting of something was not the intent in what? I don't know. Maybe it's the way I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, well, what if that's not your intent? It's just to be in a position where you would at least defend your family.
Yeah, the problem is, will they allow you? It's just like you get to the position of government. Now, even just the local government council here, a councilor here, you know, there's the corruption there is even crazier than the one at the state.
All right.
You get. So it's going to be a difficult task.
Wow.
Except
so that means this complaint about the way the force is and the injustice that some people have complained that they have suffered is pretty much just going to continue.
It's going to continue.
And we're going to just live with it and nothing is going to change.
Yes, except we have the top. It has to come from the top.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah.
I appreciate 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Hello, good afternoon. Okay. Good afternoon.
I can defend myself with two things.
Okay.
If I'm not in the force, because my mother swear that he can never see me enter police or army. So I do I can even carry gun and shoot myself. This is my 5 years daughter that is engineer already. I have never raped anybody, and I have never steal anybody's something, and I have never killed. And if somebody saying go rape my sister, before police go come, I go use my sister and shakabula. First of all, pieces the person's leg. I will take the law into my hand first. That's how I can defend myself with family, because I should not get justice. Are you hearing me?
Wow.
So concerning the army man, when you say he's traumatized, Shebi, government, first of all, pay your salary, take care of you. So there are some army and the police that they are not taking care of. Talking less of caring for their psychological and psychological well-being. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I get it.
Concerning the person where he raped, he touched 14 students.
Yeah.
Let them put that for table and give him 500 flats.
So if you look at it, someone is saying that, you know, maybe...
I'm not diversing, I'm not digressing, man.
Okay.
I'm hearing you.
Well...
So let them give him 500 lattes of cane. You know, do well, and I know do well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. It's that some people find themselves in a situation and nobody's there to fight for them. Nobody's there. And if a person thinks that they can arm twist the situation to get away with it, they will. If you've dealt with an arrogant person, you know what I'm talking about. Hello. Nigeria Info, hello, good afternoon to you. In case you've never been in that situation before, if you study the psychology of an arrogant person, if they can get away with it, that's the only thing they're going to do. Get away with it. Hello. Sorry, I lost you. Hopefully you make it back. Nigeria Info, hello, how are you? Well, my apologies. I hope you make it back. Good afternoon to you. Hello. Can you hear us? Hello. I'm sorry. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Hello.
Hello, Auntie Judge. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Daniel. There was a time I tried to join the police force.
Okay.
I have great passion. So I spoke with a top chief. So I went to him in the force. He now said that, boy, you cannot join police with your degree. And I asked him why. He said, that degree is for the slot for senators, governors, and all the rest. I should join with a school staff. I told the guy, I cannot join the force with a school staff because I cannot be on the road. You know, and he took me a lot. And since that time, I said, I am not
going to
try again, you know, but...
I'm sorry I lost you. Thank you. That also crossed my mind. Well, thank you for that backstory. I wish I didn't lose you because I really wanted to hear that. Because, you know, I wondered whether if more graduates went into the force. But here we seem to have a story. Well, I'm not going to try to conclude for you. I hope you make it back. Wow. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, welcome to Nigeria Info. We're happy to hear from you.
Oh, I'm IRDG anyway.
Welcome, IRDG. Turn up the volume of your radio set.
I'm a retired soldier, actually. I retired early this year.
Okay, thank you for calling.
So you're talking about PTSD. When I went to fight for the Boko Haram, that was period of October 2015 to October 2018. So when we finished from there, we're taking from Maiduguri from the night tax first. We're taking from Maiduguri, we're taking to Jaji. All they were just telling us was, all they were teaching us about was, we were raising us about army. They didn't evaluate our psychological welfare or mental. It was by God's grace that I was able to kind of control myself with prayers and everything. Instead, I left my child at home. My child was barely 6 months when I was injected into the war. Barely 6 months. That I didn't complain because that was what I signed up for.
Hello?
So,
yeah.
Yes, I'm with you. So there's an instructor, that was a medical instructor that was not educating us in Jaji. So when I asked him that, sir, since we've been here for almost 3 weeks, there's no way. I've been here for 3 weeks. You guys didn't tell us anything after me, instead of mental health. So he was just telling us that he's going by the book. You understand? So when I got tired, 2020, I decided to apply for discharge. So luckily, you know, my name came out. I was among the 36 people that got discharged last year. That was when everybody was complaining, why are those soldiers leaving?
Oh, you're one of the soldiers who left?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That was last year, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, what is about PSD, ma'am, is very, very right. There are some people that can't stand the smell of blood. There are some people that just leave the army without even applying for discharge.
Please hold on a second. Please hold on for a second. I need to go off on a break, please.
No problem.
You are listening to Open Thought on the Sunny Side with Joyce.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show if you have just tuned in. My name is Joyce. And thanks to the last caller, I do apologize. I had to go off on a break. I needed to hear I think you pretty much were almost at the end of your submission, but I want to thank you for the much that you have shared with us. And I thought it would be quickly necessary to share with you what that would mean. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is a psychiatric disorder that may occur in people who have experienced or witnessed a traumatic event such as natural disaster, serious accident, a terrorist act, war, combat, rape, or who have been threatened with death, sexual violence, or serious injury. Wow. In psychiatry, well, you see a psychiatrist and pretty much they're the ones who handle those kinds of behavior, which pretty much touches on mental illness, emotional disturbance, and abnormal behavior. Because, for example, most of what you see within the Nigerian society is just good old abnormal behavior. When my mother said it, I thought it was funny, but, well, that's on one hand. And I'm going to speak to one person before the headlines. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Sorry I lost you. I thought about what if the Nigerian who can afford to join the force in order to defend their family. The situations that play out in our society today is insanely abnormal. It's a situation where someone thinks because they have power, they would use it against this other person. Nigeria Info. Shegun is here. Hello, welcome to the show. How are you? Can you hear me?
Okay.
Afternoon, this side of heaven. Welcome, Shegun. Good afternoon to you.
I'm very well. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Fine, thank you.
Now, the last caller was actually very explicit. And that's why sometimes when some of your colleagues say, God bless Nigeria, I just wonder. And you probably have one or two friends who are soldiers and family members who are police members. This country is in a ruin, quite frankly.
What?
I know I'm a soldier.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen, I know I'm a soldier guy who came back from Boko Haram, went into the street, had an altercation.
Oh, look at that. Please call back. Please call back. I'll be here. 99.3 Nigeria Info. And, I think it's interesting because I'm looking at the social mentality of society. I'm looking at the mentality of our social pattern. And then you realize that if there is normality in society, it's actually because the humans are normal. And if there is abnormality in society, well, the humans have gone mad. That's really what it is. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Hello. Sorry, I lost you. If you make it back, I'll be here. 99.3 Nigeria Info, how are you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
It's calling from Nigeria.
Peter?
Yes.
Welcome. Go ahead.
You remember one person called Sandra some time ago and said one of his colleagues shot him on the street. A soldier, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the things we face in Nigeria. There is the military has been compromised. It is compromised. You cannot trust, as I speak to you, I cannot trust who is sitting next to me because of the situation we find ourselves in Nigeria. And it's so unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Hello, good afternoon. How are you? Sorry, I lost you. If you make it back. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
I'm continuing from where I stopped.
Oh, thank you. Welcome back.
So, thank you very much. So, just an incident in 2017. I think there was an attack in Jos. So, there's a particular soldier that was in my trench, as in the same platoon. So, because his village that was attacked. It was Fulani Herdsmen. It was the village after they flee. That Fulani Herdsmen came to the village, ransacked the village, killed people. So out of anger, Jimmy was forced. Jimmy came to my trench. I'm sharing trench with a particular guy. His name is Aruna. He's a Fulani. So Jimmy came with his weapon, telling Aruna that your people went to my village, they are killing my people. So we're trying to stop Jimmy. Jimmy, guy, stop. Aruna did with us here. This was a dangerous relief. It was by God's grace we were able to subdue Jimmy, which is rightful, not to shoot Aruna.
Oh, what?
Aruna had to take off from his friends. It took off far away from where we were. So we went to subdue Jimmy. We spoke to Jimmy. We calmed him down. Like, guys, see, calm down. Aruna is there with us. None of us, they feel this heat. Calm down. We begged Jimmy. And guess what? We abuse drugs there. Actually, I don't take drugs. I don't take alcohol. But we abuse drugs. If I just want the mental health.
Forgive me. I must interrupt you. When you say you abuse drugs, what type of drugs do you abuse?
As in, name it, Rafnol, Colorado, weed, cocaine.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So, yes.
Wow.
But actually, I don't do drugs. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm clear. Yeah. I don't. But I'm just telling you, there was a certain time, this is just explicit, there was a certain time that we're going for advance. So, unfortunately enough, we're ambushed. We're on patrol advance. So, there's an ambush. So, imagine me, I've been there 3 years. I know of even being getting with drugs from there. So, just imagine. So, some went to drugs. So, we're ambushed. When we're ambushed, we have to push a guy out of the E-lock. The guy was dead high. You're like, girl, wake up. We have to pull him out. So when we pull him out, immediately I was lying on the ground, we're dragging, now got himself. That's enough duck for cover. You understand? We duck for cover to wait to subdue those idiots. Then we left. And guess what? See, listen, the minister is out there that is not getting to the radio. That's the fortunate thing. There's a particular time that we're given intel that one of the sponsors is in town. Okay, one of my superior, a captain, was assigned. I was assigned to his escort. Went to town. Lo and behold, he said he was to give us order that we should bottle this man and throw him in our truck. He was speaking out to him. He was like, as he was romancing me. So right there in the truck, we're like, okay, sir. They gave us some intel. It is people that gave us intel that is one of the sponsors. This guy, he said, we should keep quiet. That is the officer here that you know what to do. They know it's wrong, but we didn't arrest the guy. We didn't. He refused to follow us. He allowed him to follow us. So men are going out there. Listen, there are soldiers in the barracks that they can't give rifle to. Because what up there, their mind is lost. It is very, very dangerous to make them sign weapon and go for duty. Because with our cases in which somebody shoots his colleagues unprovoked. So there are many duties in the barracks in which you don't allow them to sign rifle, or else you'll be in trouble. Even the commander himself will be in trouble.
So and those are soldiers you don't give right. I mean, those are soldiers?
Yes, that mentally they are lost.
Oh, what is the cause? I mean, I can understand how a person can pretty much just sink into a kind of depression where they resort to drugs, but do you think it's drugs that has driven them partly mad, or is it post-traumatic stress disorder?
It is pure PTSD. Pure PTSD. Even the PTSD causes some to use drugs.
Yeah.
The PTSD causes some to use, yes.
Yeah, you become a dependent, that's true.
Yes, I have colleagues that they can't smell blood. Once they smell blood, because the level of people there, because the level of Boko Haram they've killed, they can't smell blood. When they smell blood, their mind goes haywire. They are lost.
Whoa. Yeah, that's PTSD.
There are some, they can't eat meat to date. They can't eat meat. I'm trying to eat fish. What I can eat now, maybe for more now that I just think I can take. But besides that, right now I have the strength to take fish.
That means you don't eat meat too, from your own trauma. You don't eat meat.
Yeah, I don't. I'm like you. I eat fish and sometimes omo.
Okay.
Yes, I don't. So if the government really wants to fix soldiers to make them mentally stable, they can do it. The resources is there. And guess what? We have young widows. Young widows in the barracks.
Yeah.
That young, you see somebody 21, 24, 25, 19, dead, years of age, 30, dead. So let God help us on this country. Let me give you what I've started.
Thank you very much for calling. Yes. I do appreciate it. And God bless you, man. God bless you. Thank you very much for fighting for your country. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello, welcome to the show. Well. Wow. The Sunny Side, welcome. My name's Joyce. Thank you very much for your patience with that last caller. I needed him to tell that story so that he would give you, say, at least from an insider's perspective, what happens to a person. So I remember a friend of mine told me that he had a friend in the north. And he said that friend of his lost both parents in one of those attacks that we hear of in the north, lost father and mother in the same day through one incident. And he said that it bent his friend's mind. And what I mean when I say that is that friend of his became a killer. So the guy couldn't get over the death of his father and mother at the hands of, you know, bandits, and that situation bent his mind, and it took him out of kilter. So the guy pretty much was just out there in the wild, and yes, killing. So when I was even coming from the angle of well, in the absence of money to defend yourself, so maybe there is a kind of vantage point. So you kind of move up the social structure. Because people say, well, poor people suffer the most. So maybe there's something that that guy, you know, at the bottom of the food chain or that guy in the middle, you can move up. And I'm not saying, because the problem is the perversion of justice, is where you get into a problem with someone and that person is like, well, I have money and I can run you out and you'd lose even your own battle. You know, they take advantage of you. So I thought, well, you can move through that block of social structure where you're not so disadvantaged that you have anybody, you know, take you for granted or throw you out or eat you up, you know? 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Hello, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello, good afternoon.
Welcome. Speak up for us. What's your name?
Michael, my name.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
This is a very good topic. And it boils down to the government itself. The government are not well taking care of the military at all. I just don't want to diverse, because if I should diverse, because there are some issues you have put in your program. Once I call on that program, but it don't go through. Oh. You see, the last time, I don't know how to put it, the last time this program was aired, and the same military activities, the NBA attack, a lot of attacks have been taking place. But in the news, what we hear, military soldier kill, two kill, one abducted. Nobody mentioned the name, the type of job those people are doing. In case of that NBA issue that just happened recently, the government have not looked into that very incident that happened. In the sense that the person they abduct, who is that person? What is the name of that person? What is his job in the NBA? What is his job? What is he doing? Those people can not just come to attack on a military setting like that.
Yeah, but the names of the soldiers who were either attacked or who died from that unfortunate event is actually not a secret. At least, not certainly not even within the military.
But one thing you should know, the one they adopt, what is his job in that very...
I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Because eventually we heard that the guy who was, taken away was found later dead.
The guy who was taken away was found later dead.
Yeah, he was found dead.
That's what you say. There is an insider who came, they came for equipment. If you look inwards, the government will not open it up for you to understand.
Well, because, and honestly, that's because some things are for the military.
Yes, the military setting, that is where we train our military. That is a delicate place. Gadgets are there. A lot of equipment are there. They cannot just come to a military settle just to enter into that place, go out without... Okay. Coming for a purpose.
All right, thank you.
We need to look all these things deeply and explain these things out to the public for them to understand. That is what I want you people to look. Get your facts deeply.
Wait. So, are you talking about the military? I don't understand when you say get your facts ready. What's the issue here?
No, the issue is those people who came to attack that very place, that very NBA, where we train our military. They don't just come there to just go inside there to create awareness. They came for the purpose. They came to get something very important. They will use for themselves. And they know that is the only place they can get it. They insider who have given out something very important to use against Nigerians, to use against the military. Let the military come out clean and let us understand. Up to this moment, nothing has been said.
I see your concern.
Take, for example, an armed robber can just come into a house if they don't know something viable is there.
Okay, I see your point.
Yes. So let them educate the public very well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, welcome. I think we have Shagun back. Hello, Shagun. Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon. Yeah, sorry, I had to call back.
Okay.
And
You know, the soldier guy that I spoke, I think you can string some of those things together. You just have a picture of what is going on in Nigeria and in the military particularly. Now, like he said, if an arm of the press can just go into some of these barracks and check the number of widows there who are not catered for, you understand? Now, the story I was telling you before, this guy came from Maiduguri, had an altercation with a civilian outside. He killed the guy in cold blood, severed his private part, put it in his mouth.
No, don't say that. Come on, are you making that up?
I am not. I just told you my dad was a soldier, and I have quite a number of friends among them. This one practically happened in my area. So what I'm trying to say is that the government is not taking care of these guys when they come back from the front line.
Okay, so the military put out a statement saying that they're on the trail of the abductors, and of course trying to figure out who attacked, you know, the NDA, and will deal with them.
My sister, you just mentioned that you heard that the major that was killed has the major that was abducted was found dead. The army has not mentioned it officially.
Okay, so maybe we should then assume that he is not dead.
Well, you can assume anything, but the point is everybody knows he's dead.
No, maybe he's like not, but you know what? He's not. How about that? I mean, since you say they haven't mentioned it officially, well...
No, what I'm trying to say is that, like the last caller said, the army does not come clean in most of these things. You don't understand. They conceal these things to the detriment or even the professionalism of their boys.
Okay, so let's slice this in two, because there are some things the military cannot divulge. You know that part already.
Look,
I think you expect them to tell you some things, but maybe they can't even tell you that immediately until they get some findings. Now, whether they would tell you eventually after they have found out is a different case altogether.
Okay, let me give you another example. Like the last caller said, there was a particular attack they suffered sometimes. The army came out and said maybe 15 guys. A friend of mine came back from that same attack, and he told me they counted almost 140 soldiers. I don't know if you get it.
Okay, so apparently, initially we heard that the kidnapped officer was killed, but then the military has debunked it. So chances are, maybe there's some kind of private. Maybe he's alive,
they
and of course.
My sister, let me tell you what is happening. They don't want ethnic profiling of the guys that died, because ordinarily you have all Nigeria and the NDA, but the people are there, you can ethnically profile them as people from one part of the country. So they are sensitive to that as well. What I'm telling you is that they don't come clean.
Okay, now...
They don't come clean.
I get it,
corruption.
I get it. But I understand, I think I understand your sentiment when you say that about the NDA, but there's also the fact that many people who are from, you know, the North as well have died as a result of these issues, all of these issues.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
It's... So I don't want us to make it an ethnic problem, because it's hardly that.
No, I'm just saying with regards to the NDA, not with the army generally. You understand? With regards to what happened in the
NDA. So we can settle on the fact that that's your assumption, given the fact that we both agree that there are some things that the military is yet to finally confirm to us. For example, we heard somebody was dead, now they debunked it. So we have to wait for them.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
The one thing that is not an assumption is that we have a big problem in our hands.
I mean, that is obvious.
Yes, and the army is symptomatic of every other problem we have in this country.
I mean, look
That's
at us.
Point.
Thank you very much for calling.
You're
I do
welcome.
Appreciate. Thank you.
Yeah.
Look, I'm so thankful to everyone who has called in, particularly men who have either been in the force, who have served this country, or those who have, I mean, if I want to hear the women. If you're married to an officer, I want to know what you're dealing with. And I think it's rather shocking that we don't talk about the mental problem. And so I mentioned it earlier, and I hope you didn't miss it, that... So the way I treat you is pretty much the way I think. How about that? Put simply. And society is a function of the way the people who make it up think. And there are too many cases of injustice. Look, when you count your problems, you count that one twice. You see that issue of injustice? Count it twice. Because it is becoming a thing. It's reoccurring at a frequency that I cannot believe we're not screaming about it. I cannot believe that we can just see something and just look at it and just say, oh, God will help us. You know, what are we going to do? It's at the top. I feel like, you know, and so I thought maybe that's maybe a way out is we say, if for nothing, that you are some kind of cover. But then I figured I haven't quite considered all of the possible aspects that might make that difficult. I think, well, if you're a father and your son gets into trouble, if you don't violate justice, at least your son can bank on the fact that his human rights wouldn't get taken away. If your wife were in a situation, if you're not as criminal as an institution that you judge, then she can tell, well, I have people behind me who will fight for me and I won't get humiliated and robbed of my dignity while I'm trying to prove that I'm not, you know, guilty. Well, I thought about that from an angle, but when I hear the stories about, let's go back to the telephone lines. This is popping. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Chris is my name.
Welcome, Chris. Yeah, go ahead. Hello. Sorry, I lost you. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Sorry, I lost you. I do appreciate. Hopefully you make it back. Nigeria Info. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info. We're happy to have you.
You're welcome. Wow. You left for 2 weeks and it was like a month. I missed you.
I missed you. I'm glad to be back.
This is Lopoy on the line.
Welcome.
See, I believe that someone called in to explain some things. I believed what he was trying to explain. Because those people they took out inside the NDA, they must know some secrets, you understand?
Well,
about what is going on. So, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I understand your sentiment. But market women, I mean, we've heard of cases where people were sleeping and they were slaughtered. So
okay, wait.
I understand it, but I think. And yeah. Look, I'm not erasing your sentiment. I mean, in the absence of an official report, I think I expect sentiments to swim free.
Okay.
But I think what we should also cater to is the fact that Christians have died, Muslims have died.
No, I'm not talking of religion at all. What I'm trying to say is there must be a secret those people have gotten to the extent of exposing.
But do you say the same thing about every other person who has died? Do they have a secret too? The ones who have their children's...
NDA, like...
I mean...
The Defense Academy.
Look, I think...
How can they go in, select some few people? You understand? There was no bomb. It was a neat job. They escaped. Neat job. NDA. I to understand.
Yeah, but even if you watch movies, sometimes they're not necessarily going there for anybody. It's just a blatant disregard for the rule of law and the fact that they think they can get away with it. I mean, it's impunity. So I'm not saying that, you know, they don't have a secret. I'm saying they might not have any secret. It's just the fact that we've been dealing with banditry for a long time.
Maybe it's 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, when they go to the church and they kill Christians in church, is it because the Christians have secret? Of course not.
So
when they go to the villages
surprised.
In the north and kill people, is it because they have secrets? Of course not.
You know why I'm surprised? That should be the most protected place. The most, as in, for terrorists, not they even
the
try
most,
to attack.
Yeah, the most secure.
You understand, like, where everything
All
is
right.
happening,
Thank
where
you.
They train people. That is what I'm trying to see.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. Thank you. 99.3 Nigeria Info, how are you?
I hope the network will allow me.
Okay, real quick, go ahead. Welcome.
Thank you. Joyce, last year, March, my junior Onyekwere was in Maiduguri. That guy was killed. When they were coming back from one of their operations, they ambushed them. Do you know they denied? Oh, no, nothing happened to him. Maybe it's one of those that went out with the friends. We keep on searching until they find the guy's dead body. Somebody took the ID card and paper, saw a phone number and called. I'm telling you. Like those guys said, all I want to beg those sympathizers, because you have a lot of them in the army now, all over. Even during Boko Haram, you will hear, oh, no, don't shoot these people, don't shoot this. Onyekwere, young boy,
People just go like that. And they were denying nothing. Oh, they went out. Some of them were. On, if not for that man who saw this dead body.
All right.
Pick up those papers and called us. So I'm still begging those sympathizers.
Wait, please wait. When you speak and you say you beg, I really am uncomfortable with that. I feel, and I don't know whether you mean what you say, but every time you call on this show and you say you beg, you call Sherry's show. No, call. So maybe that's also a problem that you're willing to be overrun, that you would give it up without a fight. It drives me nuts.
The people that supposed to go outside these guys, along the line,
Stop begging.
Results.
Stop saying I'm begging. It's like you're begging for your life. It's insane that you would. You can't do that. I mean, well, I think we have a problem. We have to figure it out. But you're begging. It's like, well, come and take it. But, you know, if you pity me and give me my life, you know, I'll be grateful. If you surrender, then that's it. That's it. If you say, well, you know, that's my life, take it. Well, that's it. It's taken. Like, it's like you're living, but you're dead. Look, I think I'm asking you to understand that there is no part of your life. First of all, the only reason, so when something is given to you, you must defend it. So whether it's truth, whether it's child, whether it's wife, I mean, that's a reason you come to job early. You clock in, fingerprint, get your job done to get paid by the end of the month. It's not like you get hired on a job and you sit down, scratch your nuts, drink alcohol, and tell your boss to go fall off a cliff. You never do that. So there's a certain level of reciprocity that you bring to the table. Well, you hire me for the job and I get the job done. So you apply that to life. Well, you give me a life and I do something with it. And you can't just say, you know, I want to beg, you know, Boko Haram sympathizers. No, haven't you realized it doesn't work? It doesn't work. Never will, never has. Doesn't work. So it's a kind of fight where you have to say, I want peace. You have to get to the point where, look, we want peace. Let's not do this to each other. Let there be peace. But if you want this to pop, you're not going to take us unawares. That. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. The Nigeria Info bet. I kind of like it. 99.3 Nigeria Info, 29 minutes past 1 p.m. Welcome to the show. My name's Joyce. Freedom is not given. It's taken. And if you're going to take something, you're not going to start with, you know, please, nah, you're not going to do that. It's not, freedom is not given. I'm not going to, so it's like, you're not going to be given freedom. You're going to take it. And maybe one proof that hopefully you're worthy of it is the courage with which you take it. That. Just stop begging. Stop. Well, if you like to beg, just wait. Call Sheriff's show. Yeah, you can beg there. Yo, my friend, please don't beg for your freedom. You take it. All right. I'm going to do two more calls, and then we're going to segue to something else. And I know I'm not quite good when I say two more calls because the phones never really stop ringing. But I promise you two more. We segue to Open Thought. I want to share some things I found on social media with you, and I want to ask you to analyze it. It's Open Thought, so every thought counts for sure, particularly on Nigeria Info. You know what we mean. Let's talk. Welcome to the show. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
Joyce.
Hello, good afternoon. Please turn off the volume of your radio set. No, the volume, my friend. Please turn off the volume.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sorry. Good. Thank you. Welcome. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Malik speaking.
Welcome, Malik.
Joyce. Is a pity. Nah. You've been to the barracks, you've seen the barracks, right?
No, my guy. You know, like, that's not Disney. I don't just wake up and go there.
Joy, the barracks is up. See, it's worse than a slum.
Oh, the facility is broken,
Joyce,
non-soccer way.
Come on, you're lying. No, that's a lie.
So it's bad. So it's bad. When the soccer is broken, is it good? Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Name one barrack that the facility is working. No water.
Yo, man. Yeah.
The one in Falomo here, the police in Falomo here, I could call names for you, Joyce.
Yo.
Which state has a good barrack apart from the Niger barrack in Abuja?
Yo.
And there's so one. Is that which one? Is that the Pape one? I think I've been to the facility at. But it wasn't. It wasn't a barrack. It was a. It's a living quarters. It's a block of flats. I've been to the
choice
villa.
What you could say is fair. The senior officers. You know they're all called.
Oh
officers.
Yeah. So the guy was a senior officer. So they had
the
a
senior
flat
officers one is fair.
Okay. Yeah.
It's fair.
No, the senior officers one is good. Like it's
fair,
really good.
It's fair.
No, the
it's
one in fair, Abuja too. Is good. I've lived in it.
That one is for generals and from corners and above. That's Niger barrack.
No, that's in Pape or something somewhere. Okay, but just go ahead.
Anyway, choice.
Pape or something.
Then number two, the payment to this man. The payment to this man.
I think the payment is one thing, but you see, there's something, there's the mental thing. There's something there that we are losing, and it's worth more than money. It's... You have the mind of a person broken. There's something. It's like madness.
Choice. I choose to join the military to serve my country, right?
Are you a military personnel?
I am not. I'm not giving an example. I am not.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I choose to join the military to serve my country, right?
Really?
At the end of the day, as a younger officer, I have nothing to take home with. I have nothing to take home with. Look at what happened in the war. Look, I know you know some things, but you cannot say it not to cause danger or not to cause mayhem.
I like that. I can't say it not to cause danger. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
You understand the choice? Look, the take home is nothing. A policeman is on the road controlling traffic, no raincoat, no umbrella.
Yeah, it's a sub-state.
Goes to your head.
It's a sub.
It changes your mindset to work.
Yeah, so that's what I've noticed. Like, so maybe that's really the problem, that the degradation is so embedded in the fabric of society that once you are part of that society, you're bound to degrade. Something like that.
Do you not make it worse, choice?
Wow.
They are aware that there is an allocation for all those things, but it does not get to them.
One.
The pinky and the brain, the pinky and the brain. One is a genius, the other is insane. I remember what happened then. What are we going to do? The same thing we do every day. Nobody has come to turn the table round. We keep repeating same thing and you expect the same men to do the job.
Without being corrupt. Without.
Corrupt is not an artist. I don't know. Thank you, Joyce.
What did you what the flip did you say? Did you say corruption is an artist? What did you say? Good gosh. Hello. Welcome to Nigeria Info. How are you? Hello.
Joyce.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum.
Welcome, Ladipo. We're happy to have you.
You see, for those guys that went to NVA, I want you to understand something. Ordinary barracks, just let me give you an example. This Ikeja barracks, army barracks at Maryland. So even drive into that barracks, you know the security you pass through. Things have been compromised because some people are not well enumerated. Some people can't even see their own future. The ones that served luckily and nothing happened to them. They didn't die. They are not disabled. Nothing. They are seeing their colleagues who has not been paid. They are seeing some of the wives of their colleagues that have passed on in the course of duty. So most things have been compromised. Possibly, these guys may come for some certain document in that place because that place is like an army university. So I don't expect so much armory or whatever. Look at what that commander said on TV, that every Friday, most of these places are thrown open.
Yeah,
this is a security place.
It is a security place. Why are you throwing it open for religious purpose? Why? It's part of the compromise. So our problem in this country now is that if it is my brother, I will not want to speak against it. If it is my friend, I won't want to speak against it just because I'm still enjoying or benefiting something. Until we put an end to these things, we might be fighting a battle that will take a long while to end. That is just the reality. Yeah. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you very much for calling. I did say two and two it is. We are going to quickly go off on a short break when we come back. Well, thanks to everyone who has called. And we're actually live streaming. And someone on Instagram said to me that there are some IDP camps. Your name is Kuforiji. You say, Joyce, some IDP camps have better sanitation than some barracks. So, well, I want to say so much, yet I want to say nothing about the situation, because you think about the situation and you see the structure of the economic, you see the lining, you see the economic lining, you see the socioeconomic structure, and you see how that affects the development of the people in that society. And then you say, something has got to give. What it is, the people will decide. We're going to go off on a break. I did say that when we come back. Open Thought on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Don't go anywhere.
What makes radio the place to be? Well, that's because we start from here.
This is a compound, not one, two, or three, that somebody will come and say, I'm the only one coming in another 1 or 2 months. We see that place is like a market. Yeah, from one person to two to three to four, you don't even know those who are living in that kind of compound. You cannot say, where do you work? I'll rather worry, I'll tell you.
Over here.
I married my wife when she was very young, and now we have 4 children, and 2 has finished university. She now hates me so much that I've been cheating on her. I'm not happy with the marriage again. I don't still love her, but she, the way she treats me is the way I don't like it, because she insults me, she brings me to nothing, even in the front of my children.
Time brings us here.
People don't want to see what this government has done, and it's left for them. They want to be picking money on the street. They want government to be dashing money. Government is not for that Christmas. Government will really create the neighborhood.
No, but I don't think that's what the people want, to be honest.
What do they want?
They don't want the government dashing their money. They want something that looks like a fair standard of living. Fair, like just good enough to be called a way to live. My work's done. The sun sets here. Mondays through Thursdays on your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info.
You are listening to Open Thought on the Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk. You are listening to Open Thought on the Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk.
Let's talk, my friends. 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Welcome to the Sunny Side. All right, so quite a number of things I want to run through your sensibility. 2 things, one from a guy and one from a girl. Well, one from a man, one from a woman. come on now, where's this? So let's start with a woman, all right? I want to see what society thinks of this. And if you have any justification to support, say, something you hear me share with you, what you hear me share with you, please. But you have to know that at least I'm going to try to probe your stance, all right? Okay. A lady put up a post on social media. And she had this to say. She says, it's a sin for a broke man to say he's in love with me. Like how? I hustle because I don't want to be broke. It's okay to just trip from a distance, meaning it's okay for you to admire me from a distance. The goal is too hustless, not a hustle and a leech. End of pretty much. Then she says her name. So I don't want to say her name. And the reason also is, I think that sometimes people have a moment where they say something and they don't really think too hard about it. I mean, you know how it is where you can just say something and then you realize, oh, I'm sorry, did I offend you? Yeah, maybe that was the moment. But on the other hand, I know that there's a way society now thinks. And sometimes it's a little confusing because it's like, well, you're holding on to the benefits from God and you still don't mind the devil if he gave you something for free without taking your soul. And, well, then maybe comes maybe also we then have to observe the appetite for free stuff. Like, well, I mean, you would take it if it's free, or you would take it if someone else was paying for it. It's like the only time you drink good wine is when someone else is buying it. If you're going to buy it, then you can't quite, either you can't afford it or you think, well, that's too much money to put in a bottle of wine. But, you know, if someone else is going to pay for it, then I'll drink. Okay. So that's the statement. It's a sin for a broke man to say he loves me. How? It's okay to admire me from a distance, but, you know, don't say that you love me. So I think the active word here is broke, and pretty much what we define as broke. So that's the first part of what I want to share with you. Now I'm going to open up the telephone lines, and I want you to tell me, I mean, there's got to be some truth to the statement. Or is there? There's got to be some, maybe an agreement on your part, but I want to hear it. Like, what do you think? So what do you think about the statement, right or wrong? 0700-993-993-993. At the top of the hour, I would introduce the other. Yeah, the other comment from a guy this time around and what he had to say. And I would also certainly love the privilege to hear you talk about what you think about what you've just heard. So it's a sin for a broke guy to ask me out. You can admire me, but, you know, I want a guy who's got money. You know, it's got to be two people making money. So let's see whether we can analyze it. Oh, by the way, I should play you that video. I thought it was funny. Then maybe, you know, because it's social media, it could even be a lie. You know, it's social media. People make up stuff. People are bored out of their minds. Nothing, nowhere to go. They just make up stuff. So I'm going to pick up the first call and then play you another audio. It's on social media. First, I have Femi here from Ikoyi. Hello, we're Nigeria Info. Femi, we're happy to have you.
Hi, girls. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, you are welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It's nice hearing your voice again.
It's good to know you've been there.
2 weeks has been like eternity.
I mean, look at us. Here we are in time.
I miss you.
I miss you too.
What
do you think about the statement? Is she right in the sense that, well, I don't want a broke guy, life's going to be hard?
Brokenness in this scenario, if the guy is working for now and he doesn't have money, as in, you know, some ladies have taste. They have what they are looking for in a man. Maybe the guy in question she's talking about is that she expected the guy to have been driving car, to have these. To have
so hold on a second now. So certainly something is influencing your taste. Something is influencing your taste. So sometimes it's greed. Sometimes it's just, well, your father didn't have it and you want to have it. You know,
like some of my guys will say that. What your father cannot provide for you, you expect me to provide it for
that's not a balance sheet. You can't quite say, well, because your father couldn't do it, then I can't do it. Because first of all, there are economic factors, there are times, there's a value of money, there's opportunity. So it's possible that her father didn't have the opportunity and you do. But then it's the way that I want it. It's the way I'm asking for it, if I'm even asking at all.
If I have the opportunity of doing it, it should not be like an entitlement from your side.
Yeah. So what's the problem with broke men?
You know what? To do it for you.
So let me ask.
You cannot be using that.
Oh,
you
wait.
Cannot be using that.
Okay.
To influence your own taste.
Well, there you have it, because that's really what the whole conversation primarily features.
So what I'm saying is that if the person she's talking about in this scenario,
there's no person. She's not speaking about a particular person. She's speaking about a category of persons. So it can be any fool. On that level, it can be an idiot who drives a Range Rover who's got an income, you know, or maybe has money. But yeah, let's talk about broke guys. What is the atrocity with broke men?
The atrocity with broke men.
I mean, when someone says something like, "Well, it's a sin for a broke guy to say he likes me," so there's got to be something about broke men. Because, I mean, we put broke people to shame.
Yes.
We
this is why the,
okay.
What influenced the decision on person that is saying it is a sad thing for a broke person.
She said it's a sin, which honestly wants to make me call her righteousness to question.
It's a sin, meaning that the person might not be able to avoid to take care of her. Let me put it that way.
Okay, so
it means that the person might not be able to fill in the gap whenever she's demanding.
Okay, so is there a problem with that societally? Like, is there a problem with that?
The problem with that is that what is wrong with the let's build our future together? That statement that people used to say. That if you find a guy that showed interest in you, if you truly love the person, if it is your according to your taste, because tastes are different according to women. Women know what they want in a man.
Not quite. Yeah.
Women, we know what we also want in a lady or in women.
Not quite some correct.
Men, it might be fisher, it might be physics. Some men, it might be beauty. Some men, it might be character. But
okay.
Ladies, let me say, 70% of ladies, it is materialism.
Okay, so if you're saying if a guy doesn't have money but he's a hard worker, then you should consider him.
Yeah, according to that statement that she made, that the goal here is for two Ozula. So if the guy is still hustling, according to that statement, that is why I can say to some extent I agree with that.
Okay.
If the person is hustling,
you know, there's somebody hustling who's only making 10K a month. There's someone who's hustling who's only making 50K a month, but he wakes up at 4, comes back at 11 every day. Mm. Yeah.
So he's still hustling. One day, heaven will smile on such a person.
There's nothing God can.
There is a saying that said, heaven help those who help themselves.
Okay, so you agree with the girl. You agree with her. All right, thank you.
The little broke guy in this instance is that you are not doing anything, and you are seeing a girl that is high up there, and you are admiring that is wrong. You are not doing anything. You don't have anything. You are not hustling.
But what if he's hustling? But, you know, is that kind of hustle where, I mean, he can't even buy a TM shirt? I mean, he can buy you rice and chicken, but, you know, he can't quite buy you gold.
If the person is hustling and the girl is saying he cannot admire her, that means the person have a high taste.
Okay.
He's greedy.
It might not be greedy. I mean, you said it is taste. I mean, since she has a preference, it might not be greed. It might just be, you know, if you can't buy me wine, why am I going to sit down with
you? I agree with you on that.
All right.
But if the person, the cocoa of the point is that
he
must have something doing.
Okay.
Even if God wants to bless you, I'm saying God bless the work of my hand. If God wants to bless you and you're not doing anything, what do you want God to bless? You must be doing something. That is the only thing she's talking
regardless
about.
Of what it is, so long as you're just busy doing something.
Yes, you're
thank you very much
something
for
like that. You're not regardless of what he's doing. You know,
yeah, I get it. Well, it's all part of hustle, isn't it? Well, thank you very much for calling 99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Good afternoon. Yeah.
How are you doing, Joyce? Welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. First of all, do you remember this? You remember?
No, what's that? I
hope you came back with a bitter cola for me.
Oh, one day. I even came back and someone gave me bitter cola. You guys are so predictable,
can you imagine,
man.
Can you imagine?
You guys are so predictable.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Val.
Welcome, Val.
Guys, first of all, I don't agree with that statement.
Oh.
That is a sin. Why I say that is, in the first place, when you say broke, it means the person lacks the capacity to provide for certain things at a particular point in time.
Okay,
so maybe the person could be working, or the person might not be working, but he cannot afford to provide for my needs.
Okay.
Maybe that's where she's coming from.
Yeah.
But she says it's a thing, is wrong. If she wants to go out with somebody that can provide for her needs, fine, all well and good, that is her own choice. But for somebody to admire her, is an expression of a feeling that somebody has towards you. Whether the person is broke or not, the person has a right. If he feels like expressing himself to you or admiring you or coming close to you, I don't think there's any crime in it.
I mean, you might want to come close to me and I don't want you close to me, though I also have
well
a right
and,
too.
All well
okay,
and
good.
All well and good. But if the person makes the move, then it's your own.
So I want you to quickly tell me something about broke men. Is it? So it does appear that there's a taboo around being broke. I mean, there's a prejudice around being broke.
Generally, nobody likes to be broke.
So that would mean that the only yardstick, so when you say that, it would then imply that the only yardstick by which we judge people is that they don't have money and no other criteria is considered. You don't have money, you don't count for nothing.
That's where it's wrong, because we are coming from the materialistic angle. we are coming from the maternity.
Why is it wrong? Because the only wrong you found with her was just because she said it was a sin. Other than that, you thought it was okay.
No, I don't think it's okay. I feel when she said it's a sin, is wrong.
Okay.
That's my own angle now. Our own angle now. The focus is providing for her needs. That's materialism.
Okay.
That's the only angle she's. That's the only angle. When you focus.
Is that important? So I mean, you're like, well, it's important, but yes, there are other things to focus on, or yes, it's important.
Partly, it's also important. It's also important, but it's not the only criteria. There are so many other things.
Okay.
There are so many other things that could be put together with it. But if you focus on only materialism and all that,
yeah.
At the end of the day, what about your health? What about
I'm going to go off on a break. When we come back, we're talking about broke men.